I was trying to decide if I was going to stand up here and preach at you or if I was going to sit and make it more of a conversation. Okay. I feel uncomfortable sometimes preaching at you, but here we go. So here we are again, and it's been a week since we gathered here. And admittedly, it's been a difficult one for me. Likely, it's been a difficult week for many of you as well. In addition to all the things that go into a normal week for me, I've had the constant rhetoric of and emotions following the horrific news out of Las Vegas. It's been a difficult week for me as a mother and a pastor, as an American, and as a human being. It made me think about December 16th, 2012. That was the first Sunday after the disturbing news out of Sandy Hook Elementary. That morning, in this very sanctuary, our children went on with their Christmas program, and as I recall, it brought so much joy and good-hearted feelings to those of us in the pews, as it usually does. But later, during that exact same worship service, the joy and lightheartedness felt heavy when we stood up here and read the name of every child and adult that had died earlier in the week. That evening, Nathan and I were at home. Nathan was holding Lucy, who was about 7 weeks old at the time, and I had two-year-old Will on my lap, and we were watching President Obama speak to the country and to the people of Newtown. Will had fell asleep, and I remember Nathan saying, you know, he'd take him up to his own bed, but I said no, I just couldn't do it. I wanted to hold my healthy boy in my arms and just weep for all the mothers and fathers and grandparents and relatives that didn't get that chance again. Last June, I was awake in the middle of the night with our five-day-old Kate when I turned on the TV and saw breaking news about a nightclub in Orlando. As sleep-deprived as I was, I couldn't help but stare at that glare on the TV to my brand-new baby and back again. I offered prayers for Orlando and prayers for this precious child that I was holding. And I'm not going to lie, as I cried, I kept apologizing to Kate for bringing her into the world. And Monday, this was the first time Nathan and I have explained a very little bit about what happened with our older two children, ages 4 and 6, because they asked about something they heard on the news. They had a few follow-up questions, and then they seemed okay with the answers we gave them, so the conversation ended. However, I can't help but think about how this conversation will continue in our family the next time. The next time. There are a lot of things I have opinions about, and there's a lot of times that I think I know what's best. But there are a few things I'm certain about. One being the deep love for my children. I would do anything to make sure they're safe, well cared for, and have the best of what I'm able to provide them during their formative years. I'm going to speak up and speak out as an advocate for them. I'm going to encourage them to find their own voice, and I'm going to smother them in love. But if you're a parent, then you know this little secret. Mostly what I'm doing is second-guessing everything. Hope that what I'm doing is making them into kind people who can take care of themselves one day and will want to take care of others, and praying a whole lot. Raising our kids in this church is one of the things I am certain we are doing right. The comfort of having an entire community around them means everything to us. The relationships that they have with you, the way they know they're cared for, and the things that they're learning about the things that are important to me and Nathan through the way it's modeled here is such a gift. We know you will catch them if they fall, when they fall, and us when we fall. This church affirms for me as a parent that whatever is next, we will be able to handle. The next time for you may be today. You may have come here today feeling complacent or angry, fed up or sad. You may be sick or grieving deeply. It may have something to do with the national news this week, or it may be something personal. There is so much pain in this world. There is so much pain right here in these pews. It's easier to stay home and cover up under a blanket and feel those feelings that empty your soul. But instead, you're here today. I am so glad you're here. You matter here. You matter to God. Together we are stronger. Together we can feel and see and know that other human beings are good. We can be a witness of the love that God has through us. We can sing the hymns, or we can just listen in the silence. We can be in community with one another. We can nurture all these amazing children and youth and make sure that they know what is most important in this world and what matters the most. Ames United Church of Christ is not waiting for the next national tragedy to come together to offer hope and unite in action. Monday evening, I was reminded again, as I often am, about why what we're doing here at 6th and Kellogg matters. Pastor Eileen quickly put out word that we would meet in the evening for a time of silence and prayer to gather around Mandalay Bay. She secured teams Sonny Stewart and Ben Schrog to play, who then wrote a beautiful and powerful song for the service that you can hear Ben singing on our Facebook page. This building served as a beacon of light for this community on a very, very dark day. People gathered in silence, in prayer, in anger, in tears, and ended our time together with a blessing or a hug. It was people wanting to be in community together, wanting to know that they are not alone. Good stewards will remember the past, and so many of you have been here for years and years, pushing others to think more broadly and boldly, and that's what has gotten us this far. So for those of you who have been part of that over the decades, thank you. But good stewards also believe in our future. When we talk about stewardship, you will often hear us talk about the three T's: time, talent, and treasure. One of our tasks for this morning is to think about what we're able to give financially to this church for the upcoming year. We collect pledges every year on Stewardship Sunday as a way for our financial stewardship team to have a better idea of what to expect for the upcoming budget. Janet Binder met with each of our ministry teams over the summer in preparation for today. She and the financial stewardship team have already put in many, many hours into what a realistic budget for our congregation would look like. You may see only a few items have a modest increase. Our budget reflects each of our ministry teams, as well as our staff salaries and building expenses. This budget clearly outlines what a busy and engaged congregation we are. What a contrast that is to our scripture this morning. That congregation of Israelites had been freed from slavery, had literally come from nothing, were freed, and then expected a lot and complained even more. This isn't a congregation that's going to sit around and complain while we wait for something to happen. We are not a church just waiting for that manna to fall. We are a congregation that is full of people that are willing to speak up and speak out for the justice that we know is needed in this community and in our world. We show God's love rather than just talk about it. We embrace each other, and in turn, we are able to care for others outside our walls. We aren't waiting around idly to receive God's love. We do receive it, and then we reflect it. We are a representation of God's love. This is why our church matters. This is how your dollars are being spent, so we can have this building, so we can have the staff, so we can all be here together, so we can meet people where they are, whether it's Bible study or WAC, Learning Center or Book Club, Godly Play or Youth Group, Women's Fellowship, Men's Fellowship, Amos, Choir, helping with food at first, or simply partaking in our newly pizza and potluck on Wednesday evenings. We are having opportunities for genuine relationships with each other so we can be together, stronger together, and knowing that God is faithful in holding on to and sharing the hope that God has promised for each of us, even when it's tough. It is such a privilege and an honor to be part of this congregation as a parent, but also as a pastor. This summer, I had some time to do some intentional thinking, or discerning, which is a good church word, about stewardship, specifically how I give of myself. I recognize that God is calling me to do something more when I feel a stirring inside me. That's the best way I can describe it, but for you, it may feel like something else. To make a very, very long story very short, I have decided that I feel like it's time to begin the process of becoming an ordained minister in the United Church of Christ. Currently, I'm an authorized, licensed minister. So simply put, what that means is I've taken the classes and I've done the proper training to become licensed without taking that next step, which is ordination. Over the summer, I took the necessary steps, including an interview with the current Committee on Authorized Ministry for the Iowa Conference, and am now an official member in discernment, which is a fancy title for someone that is seeking ordination. I have a committee made up of six of our members: Allison Anderson, Dan Coffey, Steve Rogers Smith, Ben Schrog, Lynette Spicer, and Carl Tipton, as well as Pastor Eileen. They will work with me to make sure that I'm kept accountable to this congregation, my studies, and my personal boundaries throughout this process. It's my hope that they will not only encourage me, but that they will help prepare me for that ecclesiastical council one day by asking me questions that make me think different or make me feel a little uncomfortable. I am grateful to them and this congregation for the opportunity to move in this direction. At the end, should I become ordained, my role here at this church will stay the same. I am deeply grateful to the church and to all of you. It's a privilege to be church with you. None of us can predict what's going to happen next. However, it feels good. It feels more than that. It feels incredibly vital to know that this church will be here no matter what that is. Together, we are present in God's love, a love for you that you absolutely cannot be separated from. This I am certain. Amen.